Since the coronavirus was declared a global pandemic 5 months ago, more than 20 million cases have been confirmed. Over 70,000 people have lost their lives, and the virus continues to gain momentum. Here in British Columbia, we have been praised for how we have kept our case numbers low and under control. Much of this credit has been rightly attributed to our provincial health officer, Dr. Bonnie Henry. When she declared an official health emergency in March, she ended her initial statement by saying, "This is our time to be kind, to be calm, and to be safe." This has become her daily message to British Columbians ever since. This familiar phrase, "be kind, be calm, and be safe," is entrenched in all of our minds. Canadian designer John Fluvog designed a pair of shoes in Dr. Henry's honor, with these same words stamped onto the foot sock, with 100% of the profits going to Food Banks BC. The demand was so great that the pre-sale crashed their website and the shoes sold out immediately. Her message resonates. In the midst of the largest crisis of our generation, she was encouraging us to carry one another through these circumstances. Her focus has been on empathy and collective understanding rather than restrictions and criticism. How can we reach the goal to be safe in our province? Bonnie Henry's belief has been that to reach our goal successfully, we need to think of our neighbors and care about the well-being of others. She believes that kindness will lead us to our goal of safety. As we carry one another through this pandemic, we can carry one another's smaller burdens as well. Our family just returned from some much-needed time together on Vancouver Island. One afternoon, after a full day of exploring, our youngest adventurer, Declan, had reached his max. He wanted our trek to continue, but wanted Dad to lift him up. Every father knows this dynamic. There is a tangible thrill when I lift my boys and they wrap their arms around my neck. Even when I too am feeling tired, it is a joy. Carrying my boys is part of loving them. It's part of being a family. Today we continue our sermon series on the one another calls of Scripture. In my message, we're going to consider the call of carrying one another by leaning into the book of Colossians. In the city of Colossae, the Christians had one goal: to follow Christ faithfully. From prison, the Apostle Paul had heard the Colossian Christians were facing pressures to conform to temptations, despite having a collective goal to be faithful to Christ. His letter was a reminder of the freedom they had received because Jesus had died on a cross and had been resurrected. That in their choice to follow Christ, they had joined a new humanity, and their lives were now joined to the risen life of Jesus. Life can be overwhelming, but Paul wanted the Colossians to know they were not alone in their difficulties. In Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14, we hear Paul's one another call. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone else, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." Earlier in his letter, Paul wrote, "Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things." He was challenging the Colossians to a deeper devotion to Jesus and to one another. He wanted them to embrace a new way of living with Christ at the center, so they could love and live as a community in the ways Christ did, rather than by the values and standards of those around them. They were being called to bear with each other, or to live making allowance for each other's faults. Their relationships were being radically transformed because of Christ's sacrifice. But making allowance for the faults of others is difficult, isn't it? When asked what I love most about church leadership, I quickly answer, people. When asked what I find most challenging about church leadership, I painfully confess, people. While I have committed my life to serve people, and I love pastoring in the local church, I certainly have moments of struggling in bearing with others. It is the same for each of us, with colleagues, with strangers, with friends, and with family. Sometimes we really do need help supporting and even tolerating one another. Ken Hughes, a retired pastor and respected author, shares a story that illustrates this well. In the early days of air travel, when smoking was allowed on airplanes, a passenger started to light a cigar when the flight attendant informed him that cigar smoking was not allowed unless it was all right with the person sitting beside them. "Do you object to his smoking?" she asked the woman seated next to the man. "I absolutely detest cigars," she flatly replied. The flight attendant found a young man seated near the front of the cabin who said he would not mind sitting next to a cigar smoker. The flight attendant let the cigar-smoking man know. As the man moved to his new seat, his former seatmate, who had rejected his request to smoke, turned to the flight attendant and confided, "I've been married to that man for 30 years, and I still can't stand his awful cigars." It can be difficult to bear with one another. Paul uses a remarkable metaphor in his letter to help the Colossians flourish in their relationships with one another. He uses the metaphor of being clothed. He wrote in Colossians, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves." I love clothes, and I am not alone. I mean, British Columbians crashed the John Fluvog website in their haste to buy shoes. Clothes impact how we look and how we feel, and they're fun. With every clothing change, we can step into a different kind of self. If I pair my jeans with a vintage sport jacket, I feel very different than when I throw on a relaxed tee. Clothing is an image used throughout Scripture. In the book of Genesis, we see God demonstrate care for Adam and Eve by fashioning clothes for them out of animal skins. In Galatians, Paul speaks of being clothed with Christ. God doesn't just clothe us with skins. God clothes us with his own self. How can the Colossians reshape their lives in such a way as to make allowance for each other's faults? Paul's answer was by being clothed with Christ. In today's passage, Paul shares five characteristics of Christ that will enable us to live out our calling of bearing with each other with love. The first of these characteristics is compassion. Another expression for compassion is tender-hearted mercy. God speaks of this in his letter to the Corinthians when he calls God the Father of mercy. Compassion here is referring to a deep feeling about someone's difficulty or misfortune. Our boys learned several years ago that most chocolate we eat is made from cocoa beans harvested by workers who are often children, who are underpaid and treated unfairly. It is a burden they both feel greatly. We as a family don't buy chocolate unless it is fair trade certified, or better yet, bean to bar. But 3 years ago, as Halloween approached, we were discussing how we would live out our values when most people around us were making different choices around chocolate. Declan, who was 6 at the time, made this suggestion about trick-or-treating plans. Let me read his thoughts to you. I think if they let us choose what candy we want, we shouldn't choose chocolate. But if they just give us chocolate, then we should be grateful and say thank you, because we also don't want them to feel bad. His compassion for both those around the world and our direct neighbors was profound. He was eager to seek a way in which he could honor both. He saw that it would be hurtful to our neighbors to reject their gift of chocolate, even if it was out of compassion for those who were lacking justice. Declan's choice to be compassionate towards those who were experiencing misfortune continues to convict my wife and I on a regular basis, which brings us to Paul's second characteristic of Christ, kindness. In the Psalms, we can read, "Taste and see that the Lord is kind." Kindness is included as one of the 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit and is also a quality of God. Kindness is acting for the good of people, regardless of what they do. One scholar has noted that when the Greek word for kindness is applied to interpersonal relationships, it conveys the idea of being adaptable to others. Rather than harshly requiring everyone to adapt to his needs and desires, when kindness is working in a believer, the person seeks to become adaptable to the needs of those around them. This is what we are being called to in our fight against COVID-19. This is what I saw in our son that Halloween. He wanted to be adaptable rather than expecting our neighbors to adapt to his own needs and desires. Just as he was faithfully being adapted by being a young boy who loves chocolate, but consistently chooses the non-chocolate option, even when it's there for him to have. Have you ever been around a person who was kind, even when it was clearly not the easier option? A person who is adaptable? Kindness helps us fulfill the call to make allowances for one another. The third characteristic of Christ is humility. The Apostle Paul is using the word humility to describe the act of someone who values others above themselves. The word humility refers to a person who is slow to anger, remaining in control in the face of disagreement or insult. This word has also been used to describe animals who were once wild but are now tamed, because it aptly conveys the discipline of a wild, fierce will coming under control. We are driven by a need to be right, to be in charge, and to come first. Often we deceive ourselves into thinking that settling for anything less is a sign of weakness. Humility is when our desire to come first is put aside for the good of another. We read in Scripture, "All of you, clothe yourself with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud and shows favor to the humble." University of Michigan professor of social psychology, Richard Nesbitt, the world's greatest authority on intelligence, has said that he'd rather have his son be high in self-control than intelligence. According to Nesbitt, self-control is key to a well-functioning life, because our brain makes us easily susceptible to all sorts of influences. Jesus willfully laid down his life for us. He had the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. It was what he did with his will and his power that made all the difference. We are called to relate to one another with humility. This takes us to our fourth characteristic Paul mentions, gentleness. Gentleness refers to a gentle strength. It is power under control. Gentleness is the ability to withhold patient self-control. Throughout the life of Christ, we see him criticized and mistreated. In the face of personal suffering, Jesus demonstrated power under control with his restraint. In expressing love for others, Jesus showed patient self-control. And we are now called to embrace this characteristic for one another. Have you ever lost control in your response to someone? It can quickly lead to hurt and regret. Have you had to hold back words or a response when you wanted to react in anger, perhaps even out of a sense of justice? Have you been able to listen when you were deeply hurt and choose gentleness in the moment, even if the other person didn't deserve it? Whenever I experience patient self-control, I celebrate Christ's love in me because my personal default is justice in the moment. Living with gentle strength brings me joy. It brings me peace and relief every time I choose to carry others through my response. The fifth and final characteristic of being clothed in Christ is patience. Patience is the embodiment of endurance and being steadfast. It is showing perseverance and bearing ill treatment and troubles. It refers to long suffering rather than moving into anger and rage. I have several Black friends who have shared with me the realities in their life around racism, discrimination, and fear-based responses towards them. These are guys I respect. They are good men. We have many shared life experiences, but this aspect of their journey is something I've not had to personally endure. It infuriates me what they have had to put up with. It saddens me that they have to consider their actions and words in ways I never need to. And each of my friends has told me essentially the same thing. You can't live in a constant place of anger. It would be too much. Instead, they choose patience, long-suffering. They aren't apathetic. They are choosing to endure. The pursuit of faith, hope, and love requires action, but it also requires long-suffering. So these are the five characteristics of Christ: compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. This is the clothing of the Christian. These five together enable us to carry one another and love one another well. The invitation to carry one another is other-centered. As we wrap ourselves in the loving clothing of Christ, we demonstrate God's generous grace to one another, actively making allowance for each other's faults. It's when we shine the most as a community. We create a beautiful picture of Christian unity and love when we as believers respond to this one another call to carry each other's burdens. Paul writes to the Christians in Galatia, "Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." By carrying one another's burdens, we fulfill the greatest commandment God has given us, to love God and love our neighbors. We want to carry one another by bearing graciously with the relational shortcomings of others, but we also want to help carry the practical burdens of others. This is really when we are at our best. One of the reasons I have given my life to the church is because I have witnessed its potential in my life. I have been carried by others, when if left alone, I could have been crushed. Similarly, I've benefited from the joy of walking with others who needed practical support. I was recently contacted by a brother in Brazil who was moving to Vancouver with his family to pursue graduate studies. With COVID-19 restrictions and the requirement to quarantine their family upon arrival, It's a difficult time to move. Through Tent's Neighborhood Care Initiative, I've seen our community come alongside and carry this family with generosity and adaptability. In a similar way, our life groups have also been providing practical support for individuals or families, like delivering groceries and medication to those needing to quarantine. I've seen such a magnificent beauty and limitless potential of the church as a result of people choosing to carry one another. In conclusion, I mentioned earlier in the message the personal delight of carrying my son when he had reached his max. It is such a joy for me when my son sits on my shoulders. I hold onto his small legs with my hands, and he is so happy with the rest and the elevated view he has. He is safe and secure up there with none of the trappings below to hold him back. Our Father in heaven carries us much the same way. Moses assured the children of Israel that God carried them as a father carries his son. God also assures us that even to our old age, he will sustain us and carry us. Christ wants to lift you up and carry you so we can carry one another. Let's pray together. Living Lord, thank you for your loving mercy and for carrying us as a father carries his son. We are so grateful for the new life we have in Christ. We thank you for the power of your presence with the strength and support you provide for our lives. We turn to you today with open hands and cast our cares on you. As we lean on you, we pray for your love to cover us by your grace as we clothe ourselves in you and carry one another. We pray that you would carry us. Amen.